You're listening to Morning Edition on KSJD. Good morning, I'm Austin Cope. Coming up tomorrow at 7 p.m. is a fundraiser for the Cortez Public Library. It's called Wordstock. It'll feature poetry and performances celebrating the written and spoken word. It'll be held at the Tietzel Studio, a mile northwest of the Lebanon Schoolhouse, north of Cortez. You can find directions by contacting the library or by going to ksjd.org and typing in the address on Google Maps. Utah poet David Lee will be reading some of his poetry there. He was the state of Utah's first poet laureate and has been nominated for both a Pulitzer Prize and the position of National Poet Laureate. David Lee joins me now in the studio. Good morning.
Good morning. Delighted to be here.
Thanks for joining us. You're known in a lot of circles as the pig poet.
That goes way, way, way back. That's 40 years old.
You've written a lot about pigs.
I did then, and I guess I might as well get a tattoo of a pig.
Okay.
They did the PBS thing on me called The Pig Poet.
It's a documentary.
And it's still out there, and I still get little calls now and then saying, what is this all about? So it's a nickname that's just fine.
Okay with it?
Oh, yeah. Compared to some of the other things I'm called, that's just wonderful. Wonderfully kind.
So you wrote a lot about pigs when you first started. Sounds like maybe you're writing a little less about pigs lately.
Yeah. The first book that I did was called The Porcine Legacy. It did really well, and I had a choice to either renew it or do a revised expanded, and I sillily thought of myself in sort of Wordsworthian, I guess, terms. And we did another book called The Porcine Canticles, and then another book called Day's Work that was had the same voices in it, and it was about farming and being close to the earth and animals. And the dominant animal was the pig, because you could have a small place, which is what we had, and have them. And they rank number 7 on the scale of intelligence, which is about 2 slots higher than sophomores. So it was a highly symbiotic relationship, a love affair.
What other things do you write about in your poems?
I've got a brand new book out. I'm holding it up so that all of the audience can, of course, not see it. But Blue Bonnets, Fire Wheels, and Brown Eyed Susans. I spent 14 years on this book, and it's my book about women. And I'm locked in time right now. I'm stuck in the 50s. This book went from 1948 to 1962, my formative years, which people will not understand since I'm only 27 years old. But
not that much older than you.
But yeah, exactly. But I'm sort of into this. I'm a narrative poet. I like people a lot. I like voices in my poems. But on the other hand, any writer who is writing is going to talk about what he's doing right now. And right now, my wife and I just finished probably the single best years of our lives, beginning with being called by the University of Nevada to come teach a course in their MFA program. And we lived in a tiny, tiny little town, Silver City, Nevada, where the old Comstock lode was and where a young fellow by the name of Mark Twain got his start. And many people, of course, he was Sam Clemens, and he wrote letters to the editor and did sort of what I'm doing now. I just sort of would communicate publicly, and he had two personas, Sam Clemens, the reader and intellectual, but he wrote under the name Josh. Just joshing, and he became a humorist, and they hired him, and he was a beat reporter, Sam Clemens. He was a humorous specialist, Josh, and then when Nevada became a territorial place, he was assigned to cover the territorial emerging government, and that's where he took the name Mark Twain. So we were there, and I sort of joined up with him, and so a lot of my writing is from that area now.
Yeah, let's talk about that. A lot of the writing you mentioned being a narrative poet, and you say a lot of your poems use a lot of the same words and accents that people actually have.
Oh, yeah. That's what I shoot for.
How do you do that?
I guess what I like to think is if there is a writer's gift, at least for me, it's a good ear. I'm an introvert, but I like being around people not to talk but to listen. And I like to capture the different inflections and the way people talk and speech. And everybody looks at everything differently. I mean, all we have to do is look at today's political world and try to figure out, now, how did that happen? And it's because of this sort of symbiotic but totally different relationship that we as humans have. And that's what I try to focus on, mm-hmm. the difference in human beings, and capture that and then bring out some of the humor and some of the attitudes.
So you have your book right here for everybody to see, or not.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's some poems.
It's got a gorgeous cover. Isn't that more of a painting?
It's a great cover. Yeah. Well, let's talk a little bit about the words in there. Can you share some with us?
I've got a tiny one, a little bitty one, and I didn't even know I was going to read this until I opened the book when I got up this morning and thought, I've never read that silly poem. And it's really short. Every poem in here is about a woman. And this is in a woman's voice, and I guess it must be my grandmother, because she's referred to here as abuela, and the book is dedicated to grandmother. So, on a short, early winter walk, when I meant to think about perching buzzards, a little immigrating south wind clutched my leg like a tendril, the rushing leaves around and about, moving toward their hidden nests. When I said, hola, nieta, she said, buenos dias, abuela. Such a fine day to be out. Let us finish this walk together. Well, when I went out for my morning walk at Bill Tietzel's place, there was a little wind, and I guess that's why when I came back and just opened the book, there it was, and I thought, wow, the gods are here.
How have your life experiences influenced your writing?
Oh, everything comes. I got asked yesterday at Snow College in Ephraim, Utah, what does it take? What's this writing all about? And it's language and experience, concentration and distillation of those two things. You have to live deliberately. Thoreau said that and said it very, very well. You got to, and as a Buddhist, the first principle you learn is pay attention. And try to pay attention. So don't just everything has a life. Everything. Pay attention to it and try to figure out what it is and how you can use it in this aesthetic relationship you're trying to build with the world you live in, and trying to be a seminal part of it.
Why do you think it's so hard sometimes to pay attention? Some people.
But because we're lazy. I mean, look at us now. We're sitting when we could be standing, and the only reason we're sitting is because there's not a reclining couch. I mean, it's our nature, gravity. And then at this age of mine, I really am 73, you know, it's a constant battle against gravity and chronology, which are pulling us down. So it's hard because it takes concentration, and that's work. And we try to find ways not to work. Yeah.
How can poetry influence our world today?
It must influence our world today. One of my heroes is James Baldwin, and he said, the artist's job is to disturb the peace. And poetry is a good way of doing it, because so few people actually read poetry. But as I tell young poets who are worried about, you know, becoming rich and famous, number one, it's not going to happen. Or hopefully it's not going to happen, because that will take the edge off of everything. But Percy Bysshe Shelley said, the poet is the unacknowledged legislator of mankind. Because we have such a small audience, we also have the best audience in the world. It's like your audience here. It's probably not your rock and roll teenage hip-hop audience, and yet you've got the best audience out there. If they're going to listen to people sit around and talk about poetry and society and culture and right living, that's who we want to talk about. And so we want to be focused, deliberate, and meaningful in our approach to that. I babble.
David Lee, he was the state of Utah's first poet laureate. He's been nominated for both a Pulitzer Prize and the position of National Poet Laureate in his life. He's led a lot of other experiences in his life as well. David, we appreciate your time.
Oh, my pleasure. What a delight. Hello, Cortez.
And David will be performing tomorrow at 7 p.m. for a fundraiser for the Cortez Public Library called Wordstock. It's at the Tietzel Studio, a mile northwest of the Lebanon Schoolhouse. You can find directions by contacting the Cortez Public Library or by going to ksjd.org and finding the address there.